Don't want to be up there. I hope you will allow me to be less a preacher and more Tally a congregant, and to share with you from my own heart questions about faith that really have led me to ask, is God good? And why faith? And as much as I would like to at this moment, I would say stay very Presbyterian. There is something about growing up in the African-American church, not race, not black church, the African-American culture of the church, that if you had streamed any video of the services this morning, you would think that all is well with the world. Because there's one thing we've learned, is if you don't rejoice, then you can become overwhelmed. And so how have we survived 500 years of colonialism? We have learned how to dance as our lament. And so today I want to bring to you from my own heart and my own cultural tradition what it means to be a people that can that lament, yeah, as a way of fighting back against evil in a way that you might not expect. And so my hope by the end of today's service is that you feel so encouraged, that you feel so enthused and inspired, that you feel like you really went to church. Hebrews 10:34 says, "For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you will have done, so when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." And the church said, amen. Amen. Our text today makes a declarative statement about faith. The just shall live by faith. And as we begin a series of sermons on faith, I want to share with you today some thoughts about faith. Specifically, I want to ask a set of questions, or really respond to a set of questions that were presented to me. What is faith is one question. And why faith are two prominent questions. But you will hear others, I'm sure. I will probably not do a good job of answering them. I pose that there are probably more questions I answer than I actually ask. I will leave that for the preachers to come. But in the face of great violence, talking about faith is similar to picking up a piece of paper in the middle of a forest fire. It seems quite insignificant and irrational to talk about faith as a response to the overwhelming experience of mass shootings, mass incarceration, and massive homelessness. The weightiness of faith in comparison to the weightiness of these massive human depravities are incongruent. Even the Bible describes faith as a mustard seed, the littlest seed of all seeds. What can a seed do? What seems more relevant is to hide and shrink back, like a boxer who takes a hit squarely in the face and they naturally fall back and cover up out of fear of being knocked down. So why faith? Today, we lament the needless loss of life that has become all too often an occurrence in the American struggle. A struggle to reconcile its addiction to violence and its frequent practice of shrinking back. A good example of shrinking back, historically, is when Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was in a Birmingham jail. A group of Birmingham pastors wrote a public letter and published it in the newspaper, telling Dr. King and similar disciples to let the local leaders continue to work out their issues in the courts and through negotiations. You mean the same local leaders that murdered a 14-year-old teenage boy named Emmett Till? As James Baldwin and Martin Luther both ask, how long should justice or righteousness wait? Like the prophets of the Old Testament said, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will our nation suffer violence? How long, O Lord? James Baldwin asked the question, how much time do you want me to wait for progress? Martin said, how long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. And for those who think the Bible says nothing about this, that I am not being biblical or Christian in my speech, the prophet Habakkuk said, you know that Bible, the book in the Bible none of us ever read? Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? How long is a good question to ask in discussing the relevance of faith? Why? Because what does a person have faith for what they already have? It is only because we do not have what we hope for that faith is needed. Well, on the recent pilgrimage or Sankofa, 30 members from this community journeyed together from Montgomery to Ferguson. I had the opportunity to honor my relatives at the lynching memorial. I knew the story of the Hairston family, and I knew my ancestors' story well, so as I walked through the memorial, I paid special attention to the states where Hairston plantations had been documented. And as I shared that evening with the group, the feelings were many as I came across Eugene Hairston. And after standing in front of that spot with his name emblazoned on one of the memorials, what seemed like an eternity, I continued reading name after name of lynched humans. Then I read Estes Hairston. Both lynched in North Carolina, where my dad's cousins still live today. To read their names and stories of being accused and convicted by a lynch mob caused feelings to rest in me I did not know I had. It is in that space of mind I wonder out loud what would be mine. My plot, my lot, while waiting for the justice my ancestors never received, will I be like those Christians and know a gun better than I do the Son? The Son of God, that is. Because what is not faith is fear. Whatever is not faith is fear. I was asked by a few members on the journey why I believe. With all that has happened to black and brown skin and the violence perpetrated on my own kin, how do I confess my sin to a God that would allow such depravity? Yeah. And so I wrestled. What do I say? What would you say today about faith, given the last 24 hours? Yeah. See, not having a response, but wanting the blood of my ancestors to speak from the earth, I waited to answer. Now I have two questions. Yeah. How long? And why faith? Just before I put together an angry response to their question, I am reminded that I should not cast away my confidence, for it had great recompense of reward. It is great and glorious reward. So I waited to answer until I was confident. Now I know faith has confidence tucked within itself, and I add that to my reasons for faith. In my head, I check off the scorecard. Faith, 1, human depravity, 250 shootings in the last year. to be able to wait on what I do not have, to be redeemed from the hatred I have in abundance is hard. Real faith is hard, like granite, like marble, like stone. But the Hebrew writer continues, "For you have need of patience, so after you have done the will of God, you can fully enjoy what has been promised." Okay, so faith has confidence and patience and a prerequisite of first doing God's will. The writer says, "Remember how you endured sufferings, being made a spectacle, publicly exposed to insults and distress, sometimes becoming companions with those who were so treated." Sounds like allies to me. Showing sympathy to the imprisoned and celebrating the illegal taking of your property, you had faith. It is like the writer saw the story of African descendants and Native descendants before writing these verses. My answer to my pilgrimage partners is starting to come into focus. Faith made of patience and confidence comes after doing rightly in the face of wrongdoing, like when we love our neighbor as ourselves or care for the poor or liberate the oppressed. Then comes faith. And there is this moment, though. I cannot tell you if it was in the hotel or walking to see Michael Brown's memorial in the heat of St. Louis or standing over the plantation where Emmett Till ran through, but there was this moment where someone like me who has grown up in the church is concerned that I have an easy answer. And I don't want an easy answer to faith. So I fight with God in my head. Oh, I fight with God in my head. My friend Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove wrote in his recent book, "When you live in a world that tells you your existence is a problem, you don't have patience for a religion that says the same with a smile." He says, "Soul survival demands a good BS detector for people who've been labeled black, criminal, ungodly, and undeserving. I tell God countless times, why don't the ones who fear immigrants just have faith? Why don't those who fear being overrun by brown and black just have faith?" The Hebrew writer leaps at the chance to boldly restate the words of the Old Testament, "The just shall live by faith." So I holler to God for my ancestors, where are those folks' faith now? It must be in Smith & Wesson or an AK-47. Or for my ancestors, Eugene and Estes, it was faith in the tree that held the rope. But I really have to question if the evangelical narrative is just a trope to own the land and the field and the labor, but doesn't give a to care about God or people like me. I wrestled more with the writer. And as if Mother Earth voiced her complaint from her creator, as if the writer of the text knew exactly my plight, our plight, the Bible says, but we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere, preserve their souls. So here is why faith. Here's why I experience faith, or how I experience faith. Faith was chosen as the means by which creation is preserved against violence and destruction. Faith was chosen as the means to preserve creation against violence and destruction. Faith gives life to justice. Faith is keeping justice alive through being punched by evil. And instead of shrinking back like a fighter going down for the count, we have faith. Why faith? Because in doing so, after 500 years of enslavement to Jim Crow, to mass incarceration, it's faith that preserved the souls of black folks. It hits me like a ton of bricks and made my faith more weighty than the largest mountain. It was like water to a thirsty soul. The just shall live. The just shall live. The just shall live. By faith. We should be consumed by fear and doubt at the hands of violence or racism, but faith won't let us die. Faith won't let us die, like when Jesus, after the resurrection, shows up to his disciples walking and talking about the new life. The Roman and Jewish powers could not believe it. We killed him and he should be dead, but yet there are rumors that he's alive. How can these folks still believe in Jesus? How can these band of marauders still believe in Jesus? He's alive, they said. He's alive. Because faith, like air and water to the body, sustains us and keeps us alive until we have shalom and justice that Jesus died for. Faith keeps me alive. And so I cannot be distraught by what happens around me. I lament and I feel oppressed at times, but then my faith overcomes all of those things because I need it like air, like water. I need faith to keep me alive. And God designed faith to keep the church alive through all of what we experience. Faith will preserve our soul. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Amen.